Hello again. Welcome to the program. We're here with another message in the Gospel of John. Again, our verse, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life through his name. Now we get into John chapter 16 today. We're going to talk about facing the facts and facing the future. To face, the dictionary says, is to accept, confront, and deal with a difficult or unpleasant task, fact, or situation. A difficult task, that's something that we must do. A difficult fact, that's something that we must deal with. And a difficult situation is something that needs to be taken care of. Now, a fact is the truth about events as opposed to opinion or interpretation. And the only way we can get the truth, the Bible says, thy word is truth. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and the Bible are always in total harmony. And so Jesus said, albeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So the Holy Spirit can guide us into the truth about the facts of this age we're living in. If we consider the future, that's a period of time concerning things to come. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Not only things to come, but how to handle them. Now, as we get into chapter 16, we read these things. Jesus is talking to the disciples as they are walking from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whoso killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. Now, he said, they're going to put you out of the synagogues. I've never been put out of synagogue. I don't think anybody listening to this program on a regular basis could say that they were ever put out of a synagogue. We need to understand when we're looking at these portion, any portion of Scripture, that who's talking and to whom is he talking? Jesus is talking to 11 Jewish believers who knew what synagogues were all about. And he said, they're going to put you out of the synagogues and they'll kill you. Now keep in mind that just a couple of days before this, when they were coming in for this last time and Jesus was telling them he was going to be crucified, they didn't hear that at all. We read in Matthew 19:27, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? What is in it for us? Well, I'll tell you what's in it for you, Peter. They're going to kick you out of the synagogue and eventually they will kill you. You are going to have opposition from the apostates. Well, we know about that today. If you're going to stand true in these last days, if you're going to stand where the apostates used to stand, they're going to give you opposition. And they'll think that they're doing God's service. So they put you out of the synagogue. That's an emotional persecution. If they put you out of the synagogue, that doesn't hurt your feelings as much. It does hurt your feelings, I should say, but it doesn't hurt your thumb. But they'll kill you. That's not only emotional persecution, but for these disciples, it would be physical persecution. But he says, I've told you that when these times will come, they will come. Now, 2 Timothy 3:1 talks about this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. They're here. We're into those perilous times. In verse 5 through 7, Jesus said, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whither goest thou, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Now, today we're living in our fundamental circles when we're not going to teach anything except the positive things. John 15:17, Jesus preached, he said, these things I command you. Not today. In our age of fundamental apostasy, we're like it was in the day of Isaiah 30 and verse 10, where God said that they were saying, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Smooth things only. Let's not get any of those things that might put sorrow in my heart or cause me to repent about anything. Just want to go to church, feel good, go home and forget about it till I come back next meeting. Verse 8, when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. That word reprove in the Greek means to expose, to bring something to light. And so the Bible says in Ephesians 2:1-2, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You had a different spirit that was in control before you were saved. However, the Bible says in Romans 8:16, the spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit. Now, it's translated itself. No, should be translated here this way. 58 times it's been translated himself, and they've translated it itself. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit. This is so important. A lot of times we make decisions in our soul, which is our mind, our will, and emotions. What should happen with the Holy Spirit being totally in harmony with the Word of God? He speaks to our spirit. Then our spirit should dictate to our mind, our will, and our emotions as to what we're going to do with what the Lord has said to do. So we're looking at the third person of the Trinity here. Very, very important. First he said in verse 12, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Why? Because they would need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and will show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and show it unto you. The Holy Spirit is not an it, as referred to in that previous verse. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit, he will speak, he will show you, he will hear something, he will receive something, he takes something. An it can't do that. It is so important to understand this. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit. Oh, years ago, I used to go along with the people who in my peer pressure group were saying, you don't correct the King James. Well, we're going to correct it right here. Sometimes you need to get out of your peer pressure pot and think. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit. We need to correct this translation. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's the best translation on the face of the planet. I believe God had his hands on it, and it's translated just the way he wanted it, so that we would study to find these things out, rather than just say, oh, my peer pressure group thinks this, so I guess I better think it too, so I can fit in. It's time to grow up. Well, enough of that. Verse 16, a little while, Jesus said, and ye shall not see me again. A little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to my Father. Then said some of the disciples among themselves, what is this? That he saith unto us, a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to my Father, they said therefore, what is this? That he saith, a little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Yeah, they're saying, what is this? What's this about going away somewhere? We're going to set up the kingdom. We're going to kick out the Romans. We're going to have all these thrones. Remember, I want one next to Jesus. We're going to be in charge of the world. What is this about going away? I don't hear that. That's what they're saying here. I don't want to hear it. Oh, there's a lot of like that going on today. Just preach the smooth things. Those things that I don't want to hear, very much like Peter, even after the resurrection, when he said there's Jesus saying, no, he's basically explaining there's not going to be this millennial kingdom right now. That's a couple of thousand years away. Simon Peter saith unto them, the disciples, I go a fishing. And they said unto him, we go with thee. They turned around and walked away. We don't want to hear it. What is this? We want, it's all about us. We want the kingdom. We want the kingdom. Well, verily, verily, Jesus said, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Now at this point, they're controlled by their emotions. Jesus said, a woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Well, that happened, Matthew 28:8. They departed quickly, that is, the ladies, from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. John 20:20, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Luke 24:52, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Well, he's talking about asking here. Now, notice through these verses, 23, ask, you have it twice. Verse 24, you have the word asked and ask. In verse number 26, ye shall ask in my name. It's talking about asking, and it's talking about asking in Jesus' name. Now, what he's saying to them, verse 26, that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. What he's saying is there's change here. You can go directly to God as long as you go in my name. We're going in his name, then we're going to be asking God for things that Jesus wants. Verse 27, for the Father himself loveth you, and because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God, I came forth from the Father, and I am coming to the world. Again, I leave the world, and I go to the Father. Now, how did they react to that? His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speaketh no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Oh, we understand it all now. Really? Really? Do ye? And Jesus answered them, 31, do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and is now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and leave me alone. Oh, yeah, we believe, till the pressure comes. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me, Jesus said. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Then, chapter 17, verse 1, we read these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And so in the next series, in the next part in this series, we will get into chapter 17. Be sure and be with us as we continue in the book of John.